This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer, a free-for-all Friday.
You're asking to hear something I don't want to say, but if I do say it, I think you ought to hear it.
You got anything on your chest besides your chin, you better get it off.
All right, then you asked for it.
Yes, we did. So lay it on us. Free for All Friday means you set the tone. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Good afternoon and welcome to this Free for All Friday. And as always, there is so much to talk about. And yesterday we learned about the death of former Prime Minister Brian Mulroney. I have many memories of him because I was a young reporter on Parliament Hill covering his government for 3 years. I also covered the election where he got the biggest majority in history. Actually, I was in that election assigned to the riding where I live now, St. Paul's, and it flipped over from the Liberals to the Conservatives, and that was part of this big landslide, largest majority in Canadian history. Now, he was a unique kind of a person. He had great interpersonal skills. He always remembered who everybody was. A lot of people have noted that when they had personal troubles, either a health concern or someone in the family, he would be the first politician to call and to commiserate and to offer some help. The things that he did are still with us. You know, one of the reservations, shall we say, I have about political life is that a lot of people come in with the best of intentions. They change something, then the public gets tired of them, and the next person undoes what they did. Now, the things that Brian Mulroney did, those that he managed to accomplish, are still with us, even though they were very controversial at the time. I remember the battle over free trade, which he won. And he even recently, long after he left the halls of power, helped the current Liberal government renegotiate NAFTA with Trump. He was extremely well respected on the world stage. He spoke at the funerals of two U.S. presidents. That's unheard of. He really spearheaded the Commonwealth attempt to get rid of apartheid in South Africa. His government abolished capital punishment here in Canada. I remember that vote very well. That's something that really felt historic. He had the first agreement on acid rain, so he was conscious about damage to the environment. What he did not manage to do was the Meech Lake Accord, recognize Quebec as a distinct society. There was a lot of division over that. And in my opinion, the big flaw of his government was that he basically, in order to get his majority and his support in Quebec, he got into bed with separatists, and that did not go so well in the end. He was also a controversial figure after he left office. There were allegations of corruption. There was a public inquiry. We had Karl-Heinz Schreiber, German, saying that he took a suitcase full of cash, and he was very upset by all of that. So a very interesting, complicated, and pivotal figure, I think, in Canadian history. I see that the lines are filling up. I'm going to get to you in a moment, but there are a lot of other things to talk about this week. We have the latest revelations on the ArriveCan scandal, that being that somebody named Yeo in the Department of National Defense, who helped design the program to apply for the millions, actually did himself get millions of dollars because he applied for those contracts. He's been suspended. Anita Anand, who had two portfolios that were directly involved, first procurement and then defense, came out and said she was surprised by all of this. Well, you know, my question is, weren't you supposed to oversee it? We had Olivia Chow yesterday, the mayor of Toronto, saying it would not have been her choice to spend $380 million on the FIFA World Cup games, just a few of those games, but that we're committed to do it, and we've just got to get it done. I'm not sure. Do you agree with that? And again, I obviously haven't seen the contracts, but I find it all very hard to believe that this is so tied down that nothing can be challenged. And I'm sure that the money will just go up and up and up. And then, of course, there's the spy scandal. We learned more about the two scientists who were fired at the Winnipeg lab, who were in cahoots with China, sending them samples and all kinds of classified information. So that's a lot to talk about. Let me give the numbers out again. 416-360-0740. Toll free 1-866-740-4740. Let's begin with Marek in High Park. Hello, Marek.
Oh, yes. Good day. It's a very sad news. I was at the meeting in 1983 because I'm also a senior. So it was a big excitement for Brian and his lovely wife, Mila, and I was privileged later to be a personal photographer for Mila. But I have to tell you the story which happened when I had a dream about Maroney in 1988, just 3 days before the election, and I had the dream. He said, please vote for me because I'd like to be your MP. But later he said, oh, I'd like to be your PM. And I was able to tell him the story year after, and he was holding his hand, and he was holding my hand, and he was very warm, a gentleman. And so this is, we will be missing him. He was a In politics, life in politics is, as Senator Haidar said one to me, you have to have a thick skin. But
exactly. Brian, yes. Thank you for that reminiscence. And yes, he had great interpersonal skills. And I have no doubt that he took the caller's hand after he had a dream and after he won his second election in 1988. Let's go to Rocky in Toronto. Hello, Rocky.
Hey, how you doing there?
Yeah. Fine, go ahead.
Yeah, okay, listen, I want to talk about the COVID, and plus I don't want to talk about Trudeau no more because he's gone. But anyways, there's a doctor called Dr. Peter McCullough.
Just a minute. Whoa. Rocky, I'm going to let you go because you told our booker that something totally different. And that is just not right. People, I'm happy to talk to you on the air, happy to talk to you about almost anything. But don't say one thing to Zeev and then start talking about something else entirely. That's just not right. Okay. Somebody dropped off. So let us go to Brad and Don Mills. Hi, Brad.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you. I really enjoy your program and the radio station. It's first class. There's nothing better. It's really, really good, informative, and very interesting.
Thank you.
I'm calling to inquire about the purpose of having to declare annually the occupancy status of my condominium. I'm wondering why would somebody care if I'm living there 1 month or 3 months or not at all? Do you know what the purpose of having to do this?
There's a vacancy tax. And if you are away from your property more than 6 months, they're going to slap a tax on you. And that supposedly is supposed to raise $50 or $60 million. The good news is they just extended the deadline a little bit. Yesterday was the original deadline, and I woke up, and lo and behold, in the kitchen, very early in the morning, my husband was filling out the form. But the deadline is now March the 15th, and you declare that your house is not vacant, that you are living there to avoid this other tax, Brad.
What you've just said, I believe, is that the purpose is really to obtain cash.
With the vacancy tax, yes, the purpose is to obtain cash. Let us go to... Jerry and Markham. Hi, Jerry.
Good afternoon, Lizzie. Good to have you back.
Thank you. Go ahead.
The Mulrooney death is, of course, unexpected. So I would first of all extend condolences to Carolyn, who is a politician, a highly regarded politician in our province, as well as the rest of the Mulrooney family. The Prime Minister did a hell of a job while he was in office, and it's always sad to see people leave. But the reason I called today was that I recently had hip replacement surgery at North York General, and after all the discussion and comments that have been made over the last couple of years about people in the healthcare system, the fact that people are unhappy or underpaid or disgruntled and ready to leave the service. I would have to say that during my time, either in pre-op at the hospital or during the 7 days I spent there recently, that I never came across anyone that was less than enthusiastic or good at their jobs, or I never got the feeling that anyone was unhappy about what they were doing or the nature of the work that they were doing with their patients. So I was just hoping to give a shout out to the many dozens of people that I met during my brief stay there.
Well, thank you for that, and thank you to the healthcare workers who are working under sometimes very tough conditions. Whatever they may be feeling, they are professional and they give their very best to their patients. And I hope that your recovery is going really well. Thanks for your call. Let us go to Michael in Cape Breton. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Libby. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Go ahead.
That's good. Yeah, it wasn't hard to be nice with Brian Mulrooney because he had that personality that has come across nice. But if you follow politics at all, he was the prime minister that stood in Mar-a-Lago with Donald Trump and saying, "When Irish eyes are smiling."
That was he did that with Reagan, not Donald Trump.
Yeah, that he was... did it in Mar-a-Lago, too. Down to Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, that Donald was many years later. I think that was his 80th birthday or something. Yes. But the original Irish eyes, he had very good relations with the states and really put us kind of on the world stage in the states. They, of course, are our very important trading partner. As a matter of fact, he wrote a one-pager of notes for Justin Trudeau, the current prime minister, and Chrystia Freeland on how to convince Donald Trump that Canada was really important for the states, too.
And he also would advise them to remember, and he this is quoting Brian Mulrooney himself. He said, "Remember now when we sign this agreement, we're going to be giving up some of our sovereignty." Paul Martin said the same thing. Maybe the thing, like I said, he was a politician, and all politicians, none of them are perfect. But if there's a hereafter, and if you believe in the Bible, and you believe in the little guy with horns and the pitchfork, there's one waiting for Mr. Maroney right now. Because
Michael obviously didn't agree with Prime Minister Mulroney. You know, a lot of his opponents also have been paying tribute to him. So I don't know that this is exactly the right time to say things like he's going to the guy with the devil or whatever Michael was getting at there. You know, give him a day. But you don't have to agree with him politically. And he did a lot of things that were very controversial. I'm looking at the time, and it's time for our first break. Let me give the numbers out again before we go to break. And on the other side of it, we'll get to more of your calls and your comments. And they are 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer.
When one considers the meaning of life, it is a struggle between alternative viewpoints of life itself.
A free-for-all Friday.
And without the ability to defend one's own viewpoint against other, perhaps more aggressive ideologies, then reasonableness and moderation could quite simply disappear.
Name your topic and be as deep as you like, as long as there's a point in there somewhere. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Welcome back to this Free for All Friday. And it is the day after we learned that Brian Mulroney, former Prime Minister, 18th Prime Minister of Canada, has died at the age of 84. And Paul in Hamilton, you want to talk about him. Hi, Paul.
Yeah, Brian Mulroney was the only one that helped David Milgar's mother to overturn his conviction when everybody else wouldn't touch it. No one's talking about that part of it.
I'm actually not familiar or don't remember his role in it. There were lawyers involved, but he was involved in a lot of things. And he did a lot of good things and a lot of things that people opposed. And a lot of the things that he changed for us still stand, which I think is sometimes unusual in politics. Is there anything else you want to remember about him, Paul?
The other thing is that he caused the rail trails to become, because he decided that trucking was better than train. But that's a thing that you look back at and you go, oh, why did I do that? Thank you.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Okay. Alan in Georgetown, you want to talk about the FIFA World Cup? Hello, Alan.
Hi, first time caller.
I don't have my bell. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, very quickly, I just wanted to say that I totally support the World Cup funding. I think it's the best way to put Toronto and Ontario on the map. And what better sport to promote that is affordable for almost any parent in Canada is a soccer ball and a pair of running shoes. It's a great way to support the sport. And I think the payback will eventually come. And that's all. That's all for my comment.
Okay. Thanks for that. You know, the sport may be affordable if you're getting your kids to play it, but those tickets, I would not expect them to be affordable. But thank you very much for your call. Let's go to John in Toronto. Hi, John.
Oh, just on a side note, in response to the previous caller, he says it's great to advertise soccer. It's the cheap game to play because it's merely a soccer ball, not a bunch of hockey equipment, which costs into the hundreds of dollars. That is my understanding. However, if we're paying millions or I don't know if it's billions of dollars for FIFA games in this country, I'll have him know that we're already in debt. We have inflation. If broccoli and chicken and meat cost a lot today, what's it going to cost tomorrow? There's far better ways to, I guess, double our minimum wage so we can actually afford all the food that we can. Because if we can afford food, we can't run up and down the field. And that's very dangerous, very narrow-minded. We have to see the wide angle, full context scope, because everything is interconnected. In addition to the above, a lot of people in the city of Toronto don't, well, they claim to know nothing in terms of customer service. When you go to Canadian Tire, they pass you from person A to B to C, not to A to B, and they don't understand anything, and they keep on saying they're new here, despite them being there for over 7 months. I went to Starbucks, I went to World Sports Check, I was passed to 7 people, never served, treated poorly, and Starbucks has a policy to hire, I think it's non-Canadians, about 90% of them. Don't Canadians need jobs? I mean, I remember when I was a teenager, we had Brian Mulroney, who created this HSPST, Ms. Bernstein in Law, Social Science, World History taught us. And that was when I was a little teenager, when I actually saw you on CDTV News doing your report.
Okay, that was a long time ago. Thanks for your call. I certainly agree with some of what the caller said about FIFA. I'm not a fan. I think it's way too much money, and I really can't wrap my head around this signing contracts with no out clauses, and with, it seems like, no upper limit on what we're spending, and we're not even getting all the games. We're not even getting the best games, but that's my opinion, and I respect our previous caller's opinion, who thinks it's a good thing. And a lot of soccer fans here in Toronto, that is for sure. Let us now go to Daryl in Toronto. Hi, Daryl.
Hello. Really quickly, I wanted to talk about the CT scans and the waiting line for them. I'm trying to get one for it. I managed to get on cancellation, so I'm getting one on Monday. But from the initial responses from places, one place that my doctor sent into called back with a, this is from December 28th, they called back with, I could get a CT scan November the 1st. And in talking to them and trying to move things up, they mentioned to me that they were only doing them on Fridays. Now, it seems just absurd that Doug Ford's talking about he has to get private places to be doing these, you know, for the lineup, when there's a place that has a machine and should be doing them 24/7, and all they're doing is on Fridays. And I'm really...
Was it just the particular scan? Because they're different scans for different things. So was it they only were using their CT machine, or they were only using it for the type of scan you needed?
I honestly can't answer that. We only do these on Fridays.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, I know that at hospitals, and I get CT scans regularly at Princess Margaret, they run those machines, and my appointments for a scan are always kind of at inconvenient times, which is fine. And you mentioned that you got in because you went on a cancellation, so people... Here's my advice to you. If you get a time that's months and months out, just say, put me on a cancellation list and you can call me at the last minute and I'll come at 3 a.m. if I have to. And that way your appointment will get moved up because they do get cancellations.
Absolutely. And just a quick thing, like the whole thing with FIFA is just totally absurd that we should be spending that kind of money when we don't have it. I don't know how Doug Ford can even allow that.
Well, that's a John Tory thing. And Doug Ford, if the feds come in, they will spend $97 million, which was a third of the original cost. And they have said that they are not going to increase their share just because Toronto is spending more on it. But Daryl, on that one, have to say I agree with you. Thank you for your call. And let's go to Ron in Guelph. Hi, Ron.
Hello, Libby. Thanks for taking my call. Well, I know in Southern Ontario, everybody is celebrating the fact we've got no snow. It's wonderful. But we should be talking to Sylvain Charlebois, because I think this is going to be a disaster, because the farmers aren't celebrating. I'll tell you, in Western Canada, I know that there's if there's no snow in the ground, what are we going to grow for crops? You need moisture in the ground.
There's been plenty of rain. I mean, don't ask me about growing crops and agriculture. I'm scratch whatever I say. I am not expert in that. I'm not even almost expert. I know that there have been issues. You know, I generally use olive oil, and there was a drought in the olive oil making regions, and just literally from one bottle to the next, the price is much higher now. So,
well, I'm talking. Yeah, I mean, I talked to somebody recently that flew over the prairies, and they were disheartened. And I mean, the people that I know, they said the prairies are brown. This isn't going to do us any good when we're having a drought. The wildfires aren't going to get any less, that's for sure, when everything is going to be this dry. It's just everybody is celebrating for the wrong reasons. It's nice that in Toronto, in the area, that we don't have it. But it's not going to be... Yeah, I just said maybe it's time to give Sylvain a call and say, what do you make of this fact that there's not enough moisture in the ground there, but no snow?
Okay, well... we talk to him fairly regularly, and also to the climatologists. Ron, thanks for your call. And let me give the numbers out again, 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-744-740. And we've been talking to a number of people who want to talk about the cost of those FIFA games going up by $80 million. And if you ask me, that won't be the last time that they go up. And the word from the politicians, we can't do anything about it. Too bad. Which, again, I find a little hard to believe. I have not heard from people on all the latest revelations of the ArriveCan scandal, that self-dealing, that a DND, Department of National Defense staffer who was involved in designing the program, was also the CEO of a company, an alleged independent contractor who got millions of dollars through the program that he designed, and the app was not very good. And the bureaucrats and the minister, Anita Anand, totally unaware of this. Like, how do you not notice that a small contract that maybe should not cross your desk, $80,000, has ballooned to $60 million, and you haven't noticed it, and nobody who works for you has noticed it? I don't know how that happens exactly. Again, the numbers to call, 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740, and let's go to Jack in Toronto. Hi, Jack.
We're going to realize it after the horse is out the gate, like the 1976 expensive Olympics, with all those people on their one-way trip. They never went back, but yet our whole country was left in debt in 1970s as a result of something the people never asked for. Libby, we don't need the Olympics here. We don't need people coming under false pretense on a one-way trip. We can't afford it. We can't afford the reckless spending. I mean, that's why they came up with the HST, GST, and PST. They should all take it back with them, down and out. We don't need it.
Well, I think we probably do need the HST, but you're right about Olympics. I agree with you, whether it's Olympics or FIFA World Cup. And in the FIFA World Cup, we aren't even getting the most consequential games. We're getting six games kind of in the middle of the thing. But there we go. We are being told there's nothing we can do about it. Jack, thank you for your call. And once again, the numbers, 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-744-740. Let's go to Fred in Sundridge. Hi, Fred.
How you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Hello.
Hello. Go ahead. Yes, go ahead. Okay, you're on the air.
I'm continually hearing about government incompetence and corruption and excuses about why nothing is being done about it.
Uh-huh. Are you talking about anything in particular?
I can't hear you, so that's about all I have to say is I'm just tired of it.
Okay. Thank you for that, Fred. Yeah. Okay. And here we have a caller who wants to give us a compliment, Jay in Kitchener. Hi, Jay.
Ma'am, as a visually impaired person who relies on two-way discussions, I really appreciate all your station does with two-way conversations, not just relying on text and computer stuff.
Well, great. Thank you for that.
I'm very thankful. Thank you for all your help, and thank Moses and all your staff.
Okay.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye. Thank you for that. And definitely we'll pass that along to Moses and all our staff. Appreciate that. Nice to know that people are appreciating what we are doing. Let's go to Dino in North York. Hi, Dino.
Hi, how are you, Libby?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good, thank you. So I've been trying for the past 3-4 weeks to get on, make a comment about that property tax increase.
Uh-huh.
Finally, I got through. Okay, so the part-time job that I have, I talk to a lot of people. I meet a lot of people, and at that time, the property tax topic was, I guess, one of the main topics, being irresponsible, whatever, 9.5%. So I decided to do a little survey. I asked the first 25 people how they felt, or if they were happy with how they voted in the last municipal election. And 20 out of 25, they deeply regret. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. There you go. That is a big tax hike that people have to absorb. It is a big deal. And I don't know if city council was hoping that we'd forget about it within a couple of weeks. They are mistaken, as we just heard from our last caller. And our next caller is calling in all the way from British Columbia. Dee, hello, how are you?
Good morning, I'm well, how are you?
I'm fine, it's the afternoon here, but it's still the morning in BC.
Yes, it's still morning and gray and raining.
Well, it's beautiful and sunny here, I hate to tell you. you want to talk about ArriveCan?
Yeah, I want to tell you what happened to me, because I just can't believe that it actually happened to me. Anyway, the ArriveCan was a terrible application to begin with. I had a trip planned to Hawaii. I downloaded the app on my phone, and we had to get tested and make sure that, you know, we weren't infecting anyone. So anyway, I downloaded the app on my phone before I left. I put all the information down that I needed, knowing that when I left Hawaii, I would have to reopen it as I'm entering Canada. What had happened in the meantime was the app had changed from a format that was, I don't know, vertical as opposed to the other way around. And by the time I went to open the app in Hawaii, it had deleted all my information that I had put in it. I did not have it in my hand to re-input it. I did have my QR code from when BC went around and gave everybody a QR code that was vaccinated. I tried to tell them at the airport what had happened. They didn't want to listen to me. They put me through with 400 other people to get tested, and I was negative. They subjected me to stay home for 14 days. They would call me every day and say, if we don't hear from you, we're going to come knocking on your door.
Oh, that was one of the... That was one of the things that happened, Dee. Those days are over, thank goodness. And thanks so much for calling from BC. But that was one of the things it affected my husband as well, is that they told people who did not have to isolate that they had to isolate. And people were stuck at home for no reason. And that's because the app was bad and whoever was policing it wasn't doing a very good job. It's time for our second break now. Let me give you the numbers before we go to break. We'll take more of your calls and your comments when we come back from the break. The numbers are 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And of course, our last caller was talking about problems she had with using the Arrive Can. Well, we have a lot of problems paying for ArriveCan, and the costs have ballooned to millions, millions and millions. And I hope there's a very good criminal investigation into this, because it certainly looks like that. And we will talk when we come back after the break.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer, a free-for-all Friday. Step up, say your piece, and we promise not to interrupt.
Excuse me!
Just be lively about it. We have a lot of listeners hanging on your every word. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Welcome back to this Free for All Friday, and a lot of people talking about the legacy of Brian Mulroney, and we have just learned that he is going to get a full state funeral, and that is fitting. And we haven't heard the details about when that's going to be, and the public will also have the opportunity to say goodbye as well. I'm going to start with Brian in Mimico. And Brian, you have a beef with the former prime minister. I'm assuming it's on policy.
Don't get me wrong. I voted for him. I thought he was a great prime minister, supported him all the time. But when he first went down to the United States and basically informed the Senate and the Congress that Canada was their biggest trading partner, most of them had no idea that that was the case. And that's how we ended up with the free trade agreement, and then, of course, making sure they, of course, got the better end of the deal. And then after that, the idea that we should stop shipping things by train and go to trucks, I don't think that worked out all that well. But other than that, yeah, great man, did great things, a great prime minister. But, yeah, that's a couple of beefs I have with him that should be mentioned, I think.
Okay. Thank you for bringing that up, Brian. Bye-bye. Okay, numbers to call again, 416-360-0740, toll-free 1-866-740-4740. Of course, this is the day when we talk about what you want to talk about. Doesn't have to be the topics that I am bringing up, but we've talked about Brian Mulroney. We've talked a little bit about ArriveCan. We've talked about FIFA World Cup. And I think more people are unhappy about this $380 million pig-in-a-poke contract that we apparently can't get out of to play six sort of not that important soccer games when the FIFA World Cup is here. Again, the numbers 416-360-0740, toll-free 1-866-740-4740. And oh, and the other thing, what about the revelations about the two fired scientists at that very high security, well, should have been high security lab in Winnipeg, and their connections to China? And certainly looks like they were actually spies. Anyway, let us go to Barty in North York. Hello, Barty.
Hi, Libby. It's so nice that you're back. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you.
I have learned so much from your show but I would really appreciate it if at some point there is a discussion on bone health and bone density tests, because I have osteopenia of the hip and knee, severe osteopenia, and severe osteoarthritis of the hip and knee, and my I don't want to use that word, but stupid doctor doesn't want to refer me for a bone density test. He says only after 5 years, even though my images, image reports are showing that I have severe osteopenia.
Is osteopenia, is that the pre-osteoporosis?
Yes, it is.
And okay, it is well... That's very odd that your doctor wouldn't give you refer you for a bone density test. Is he the only person who can do that?
He says it is after 5 years, and but my last bone density test was done in 21, and in that report it said that because of my osteopenia in the hip. At that time, I didn't have osteopenia in the knees and legs, but that report said that I was able to have a bone density test after 3 years instead of five.
And well, you should show him that again. I don't know what to tell you. By the way, they don't take knees into account for bone density tests, but definitely hips. So... if you have that document and it says that, then, you know, he probably forgot about it. That's being nice.
No, he has my documents and the imaging test of my x-rays for my knees and legs say that I have now osteopenia in my legs and knees as well. But he says that doesn't count. For you to be...
It doesn't. Your knees, whatever is going on with your knees is not what they measure in bone density, but they definitely measure what's going on in your hips. Maybe there's another doctor you can talk to, but they definitely don't look at what's going on with your knees. And I hope that you get your test. Thank you for that. Uh-oh, I did something bad. To my screen. Okay. I think I've got my screen back. We have a few more minutes left in the program, and the numbers to call 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And let me just tell you a couple of things about what the information that was released about the two fired scientists. And this has gone on for years. We've had to wait years to hear this. And this is incredible. There were security lapses. They were photographed with top military officials from China. They sent samples. This is a lab that had samples of biohazards. They sent samples to China. There was all kinds of reasons to suspect them, but the whole matter was treated like an HR issue. It was, you know, an HR issue and not a national security issue. And to me, this is, well, I don't even know if it's shocking. There have been so many lapses, especially during the pandemic. It is another thing. Ah, and we have Joan in Guelph. Hi, Joan.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Go ahead.
I'm glad you are. I know it's really late calling, but this whole thing, this happened in 2019. I have a microbial degree. That is our highest security lab, and it was known way. It was covered up. I have searched the news. Nothing. And all of a sudden now, all of a sudden it's out there. So it makes me really leery. We should have been, journalists should have been on this from 2019 when it hit, when they were walked out of the lab.
It was covered, and then the word was that there wasn't more information because it was a national security issue, and there was a committee at the House of Commons that came to the conclusion that it was covered up, and just so the government wouldn't look bad.
Well, exactly, but I just was journalists, and I understand journalists and whatever are really up against it with radio and paper media and whatever, but this has been, and I've tried to follow it, and there's been nothing. It was totally covered up, and it was there 4 years ago. So anyway, I'm glad it's out there now, but now it's going to be a political bashing, and that's not what it should be used for. It should be used to do better.
Okay.
Anyway.
Thank you for that, Joan. Sometimes it takes a very long time. I mean, look at ArriveCan. We just heard some very damaging details this week, and this is something that happened, what, 3-4 years ago when the ArriveCan app was developed. And we had heard that there was self-dealing, that somebody or some people involved with designing the program actually benefited from it, but we didn't get the details on that until this week. And it seems to take a very, very long time for all of this to come out. And we really need more transparency. We need to know what's going on, and we need for people to be doing their jobs, because I find it really shocking in terms of ArriveCan that you have the minister who was in two portfolios related saying, oh, I'm so surprised by this. This is Anita Anand, and this is somebody who has a huge reputation as a great manager, and she was given these jobs, first procurement during the pandemic, and then she's now the Minister of National Defense, and she's surprised. Well, whose fault is that? That's what I'm asking. Whose fault is it that she is surprised? I'm going to take a call from Debbie in Scarborough. And Debbie, you get your bone density tests every year?
Yeah, I do. I had one last year, December, and I had one this year, January. And I just asked my GP, and she scheduled it.
Well, yeah, the thing is you need a referral, and our previous caller, Barty, said that her GP will not refer her. So that's a problem, and I don't really know how to get around that. But it's good that you're looking after your bone health and taking tests and doing whatever they tell you to do. So I am looking at the clock, and we do have just a few minutes left. So we'll take a call from Stan in Newmarket. Hi, Stan.
Hi. I'm calling about the World Cup soccer. We're not getting the good games. Who is? Where are all the...
Vancouver is getting more. And there's some games in the States.
Is it already set up?
Pardon?
Is it already set up? Which games are playing where?
Yep.
Where can I find this out? Where can I find this out?
I Google World Cup. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Okay, I'll look it up.
Okay, thanks for that. Generally speaking, Googling will get you to the information you need if you input the right things. We look things up sometimes here while we're on the air, but really which games are which, I don't have that at the top of my, not off the top of my head, but it is Vancouver. And there are some games being played in the United States for people who are fans. And one of the things that I was bringing up yesterday is that to a certain extent, because they do all these models of the economic benefit, it kind of doesn't matter where the games are being played. Yes, there will be people coming to Toronto to see some of those games. But even if they're in a far off country, the people who are originally from those countries especially celebrate, and they go out and they cheer their teams, and the restaurants that are showing the games, they do get an economic benefit from having the games wherever they are. So I'm not sure that you actually have to have the games in Toronto, though people who are boosters say it's going to bring people in, it's going to raise our profile. I don't know. We will see. I'm sure that there will be some tourism as a result of the games. $380 million worth, when Toronto is only on track to get $3 million in tax revenue, that does not seem like a very fair equation. We've also had all this new information about the ArriveCan app. I think there are more shoes to drop on that one. We'll have to see if there are criminal charges. The man who was involved in this, Mr. Yeo from the Department of National Defense, has been suspended. And my question is, I bet he's suspended with pay, which would be, I don't know, pretty egregious given the millions and millions of dollars he was able to get from a program that he helped design. Anyway, there is a lot of news today, and not a lot of it is that great, but the sun is shining and we're having some great weather on the weekend. And everybody, enjoy your weekend. I'll be back here on Monday and we'll talk then. That's all the time we have for Fight Back for today and for this week.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.